Our scripture lesson for today is from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, reading verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay, so here we are, the day before Christmas. And I would think that everybody's kind of in a different place. Maybe you are able to know exactly where you are today. But it's a very complex time in a lot of ways. Kids are very excited, and because they're so excited, they are nuts. And they're also eating a lot of sugar, too, which is like cocaine to a kid. And so they're running around, and that's great, and it's kind of, you know, as far as, you know, having Christmas, it's always great to have children around at Christmas time. But different people have different things. And I don't know what memories you have of growing up, but one of my main memories is that I think my mom did most of the decorations in the house. But they had this nativity scene that was a pretty large wooden hand-carved thing. My little church I was at, Church of the Pines, I don't remember us ever having a live nativity where I could be, you know, like a shepherd or something. But so I had to content myself with this wooden nativity scene. But that was okay because the pieces were pretty big. And I remember we're going there, and it was kind of like a dollhouse. You know, you had all these figures there that you could kind of play with when they didn't see you doing it. And so I remember, of course, I've really related to Joseph, right? The father, and I was going to be Joseph, and I would have lines, you know, I have dialogue and stuff. But sometimes I was a shepherd, you know, so, and then the wise men were on this side, there are three of them. I don't think I ever tried to be a farm animal. But one thing I never was also was I never was Mary. You know, I never was Mary, and I'm sure it was a gender thing. You know, it was like I felt very sure that I would be one of the guys in there, but I wasn't going to be Mary. And I wonder if my sisters, if they ever played in there, if they were Mary. You know, because she was the only woman in that whole scene. And so I had to realize with this scripture today, I've never really put myself in the position of Mary before, or really thought about what was like, or, you know, like, what would it be like for me? And what do Mary and I have in common about this? And so I think that maybe that's something that could help us today, because you may not have done that either. And even women, you know, Mary has been exalted at such a high level that it's almost like, you know, kind of indecent to kind of put yourself as Mary, because she's such a high, you know, revered woman in history and in the church. But what was it like to be Mary on the day where she found out what was going on with Jesus? And so I just want to start with the very first verse, verse 26, and it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Nazareth, Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." What really jumps out there to me is that it was very specific that angel Gabriel came. Now, first, Luke, the gospel here writer, he doesn't hedge about whether this angel was real or imaginary. He just says it's an angel. And the word in Greek is angelos. Makes sense, like Los Angeles, angelos. It just means messenger. It's the word messenger, and you know, it can be a verb. You know, it's when somebody messages somebody, they angelos them. And so it's, Luke just says the angel Gabriel came. And we're just supposed to accept that, you know, that there are angels. And, you know, I don't know if y'all do any TikTok these days, but I've seen some TikTok videos of hospice nurses talking about realizing there's a presence in the room when someone's dying and feeling like there was an angel in the room. So that it's a real thing in that regard. But what's interesting to me is that the announcement of Jesus' birth comes right in the middle of real life, a specific month, a specific town, a specific place. Galilee, Nazareth is a town, to a woman, a virgin who's engaged to Joseph. And it's, you know, there's no kind of parsing about, well, was she in a good mood that day? You know, was it a happy time? Was it a hard time? Was it a sad time? And I believe, and this is what I think where you and I can relate, is that this Christmas season is the same way. It comes, it's coming, you know, wherever we are, whatever we're feeling, you know, however, if we're high or low, it's coming, and it's coming in the midst of life, this Christmas season. And in a very specific place and in the middle of what we have going on. So whether it's the hyperness of being a child and the excitement and all that, or if it's brokenness, or loneliness, or just feeling kind of crazy in the midst of like mental illness or in darkness, the news of Jesus comes in those situations too. I always think about that there are new people with us this year that weren't here. My son had a little boy named Miles. He's delightful, Miles. Miles wasn't here last year. We, you know, looking at all the pictures of Christmas last year, there's no Miles. Miles was born in May. But there are people who were with us last year that aren't, and that's probably more to the point. For me, I have a brother-in-law, Terry, who was here last year, and he died this year. And two really good friends, Jack Becker and Patty Winter, who died this year. They're not here, and you got them too. And that is in the middle of that is where Christmas has come, in the middle of all that. That we've got that in the middle of normal life. That is our life, and Christmas comes. And the announcement of Jesus coming to the world has come. And so then in the middle of that life, so we have that in common with Mary. There was no, like, parsing Mary's life to see, hey, is this a good time? Gabriel just came. And so then here comes the part that to me is just so wonderful. And it's verse 28. He came to her and he said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, that must have really, because it does say she was perplexed when he said that. That must have really thrown her. Greetings, favored one. And what I want, and this is a new idea for me, and maybe it's a new idea for you, that is exactly what God is saying to you and me today. Greetings, favored one. And we might want to say, maybe it's more accurate for him to say, greetings, broken one. Greetings, crazy one. Greetings, lonely one. But the word is greeting, favored one. And I don't believe when Mary woke up that morning, she felt, you know, particularly favored. It was kind of like normal life. She may have had some issues going on with the family. I don't know. She's a young woman, and in that culture, young women were in the margins of society with no power. She had nothing economically to offer, no power, no influence. She did not wake up in that morning going, you know, God should choose me to bear God's son, because I'm the one. She did not do that. And yet God says, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. And that's the way God sees us today. Not broken, not empty, not desolate. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. In the middle of all this that you're dealing with, the Lord is with you. And you are favored. One of the greatest discussions on this is by an Episcopal, I've quoted her before, Debbie Thomas, who's an Episcopal minister in California. And listen to what she says about this line. She says, I love this line because it's more than a greeting. It's a naming ceremony. The angel begins by giving Mary a new name, a new identity, a new possibility of seeing herself in the light of how God sees her. I love that in this first moment of sacred encounter, the divine messenger's move is not to indict her, to instruct her, convict her, or diminish her. It's to bestow favor on her. Consider what it reveals about the priorities of God, who instructs the angel to rename Mary at the beginning of their encounter, indicating that Mary is God's favored one before she says or does anything to earn it, in her ignorance, in her lowliness, before anything else transpires in the story of her faith. She is favored already. And then here's the line I love. Specifically, the name Mary receives is a name bursting at the seams with God's delight. It's a name that says, Mary, God sees you. God smiles upon you. God holds you in God's gaze with pleasure and tenderness. God rejoices, basks, dances at the very thought of you. And that is what God is saying to you and me today. Oh, favored one, not broken one, not crazy one. Oh, favored one, without us having to do anything to deserve it. So then the next thing that we have in common with Mary, after he said, oh, favored one, then he says this. This is verse 31. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. You will bear Jesus to the world. And I believe that's what he's saying to us too today. In this Christmas season, when we don't feel necessarily favored or strong or perky, but the call is to bear Jesus to the world. You will bear Jesus to the world. You will bring Jesus to people. And what's really interesting to me is he doesn't say you will give people the good news. He says you will bring Jesus, you will bear Jesus to the world, which means bring Jesus to them in the way you act, in the way you minister, in the way you reach out in your community, you're bringing Jesus to them. And so God looks at you with favor. God looks at you with love. God looks at you with unbelievable tenderness and care. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be outstanding first. God loves you. And then God calls you to present Jesus to the world, just like he called Mary to present Jesus to the world. I never knew I had that in common with Mary, because you know, she's doing it a different way. You know, she's having the baby, and I'm not. But I'm still called to bear Jesus into the world the way she was called to bear her son into the world. And that's a lot. That's a lot. But Advent essentially is that call to us in the church, that we are bearing witness to Jesus Christ in the world. And we're not just bearing witness and saying the good news. We are becoming, we are Jesusing people. We're becoming Jesus to the poor, to the downtrodden, to those people returning from prison, to the people who have no homes and are walking down the side of the road today. We are bringing Jesus to them. And that is our instinct. That is what we're doing. We're bringing Jesus. And if everybody ever asks why you do that, it's because of Jesus is in me. Our call is Mary's called to bring Jesus to the world. And then our response is very similar to hers. It's sort of, who, me? Verse 34, she says, how can this be? And she has a reason, right? How can this be? And her reason is, because I'm a virgin. How can I have this baby? Because I'm a virgin, all right? So she said, let me stop you right there. How can this be? And we say that too. When we feel God's call to bring Jesus to people, we say, how can this be? Because I'm hurting. How can this be? Because I am broken. How can this be? Because I got crazy in my family. I got it in nurture and nature. I got mental illness in my family. Nurture and nature, I got those things going on. God, how in the world can you use me? Because I got crazy, and I'm afraid it's going to jump out before the old Jesus stuff jumps out. And yet, God calls us to bear Jesus into the world. And yet, even though she's a virgin, God calls us to bear Jesus, calls Mary to bear Jesus in the world. How can this be? I'm weak. I'm not powerful. Surely there's some mistake. And as you were there this Christmas, and you know what you're dealing with, and I know what I'm dealing with, we say, God, how can this be that you're still calling us to bear you into the world? I'm broken. I'm lonely. I'm mentally ill. Look at my family. And yet the key is in that first thing he says. The Lord is with you. Hail, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord is with you. And the Lord is with me. That's why we can do this at Christmas. And it may be just as simple as making sure there is some reference to the birth of Jesus in your Christmas celebrations. That is not all, you know, red and green and white and ho, ho, ho. But that there's references to the birth of Jesus Christ in your Christmas celebrations. That we bear Christ into the world at this time. But what I want you to hear is how much God loves you. And that this whole thing about bringing Jesus in the world is because God loves you so much and you didn't ever have to deserve it. I'm going to close with two quotes. One is Paul Tillich. He says, sometimes a wave of light breaks into our darkness and it is as though a voice were saying, you are accepted. You are accepted. Accepted by that which is greater than you and the name of which you do not know. Do not seek for anything. Do not perform anything. Do not intend anything. Simply accept the fact that you have been accepted. And if that happens to us, we experience grace. And the last thing I'm going to say is just to repeat that first quote from Debbie Thomas, that you are favored. No matter what you feel, no matter how dark you feel, no matter how broken you feel, no matter how lonely you feel, you hail, favored one. God sees you. God smiles upon you. God holds you in God's gaze with pleasure and tenderness. God rejoices, basks, dances at the very thought of you. Let's pray together. Lord, I've never realized how much we had in common with Mary, that you just came right into the middle of everyday life, no matter what the situation is. Thank you that we don't have to earn your love, that you love us completely already. And if this is a dark time, it's a broken time, let us feel your love. Let us feel your healing power within us as we bear you into the world. In Jesus' name, amen.